This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and across the country on CBS Sports Network. We've got Bill Burr in studio. He's going to be at the Garden on Wednesday, November 7th, 8 o'clock. For tickets, go to nyccomedyfestival.com or Ticketmaster.com. Bill, good morning. Thanks for being here. How are you?
What's going on? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I was thinking about you when I heard you were coming in, watching Patriots-Chiefs. When Tyreek Hill scores a touchdown and a Patriots fan throws a beer into his face from the stands, is that a proud moment for a New England sports fan, or is that a, what the hell are you doing? Now we're going
to
be...
I don't think that, like, people try to make that, like, specifically, like, your fan base going, oh, stay classy, Patriots fan. You saw when, what's-his-face, Kimbrell came out of the Yankee Stadium when he came out to close the game, someone threw a beer at him.
Sure.
It happens. I'm actually kind of happy that still happens on some level because they've so niced everything up.
Yeah, right.
Like,
yeah.
They used to be like class clowns in each section. We're making the whole section laugh. But now they got these giant flat screens and everybody just sits there with their mouth hanging open. I really think it's almost like crowd control. Like, if they're not talking to each other, there won't be any fights. Now, I'm not advocating fights or anything, but I liked it when it was more like rowdy. I like a rowdy crowd as a comedian. Like, if they're, you know, they're into it as opposed to just sitting there
texting,
going, let's bring out meter maids, these heroes of meter maids. You know, everybody's a hero now.
Right.
There's always some sort of pageantry they're doing, and then the Jets fly over.
Yeah,
of course. Like war rally football game, and I don't know, Canyon of Heroes. I don't know what it is anymore. It used to just be a bunch of sports fans.
You know, you would appreciate this, then. I did a broadcast in the old Sullivan Stadium, and the radio side of the broadcast was opposite the Patriots' bench, and we are like in a lean-to in the middle of the stands. It wasn't like a press box or anything else. And we were there, and it was a rainy November night, and it was, I'll never forget, it was the Chiefs and it was the Patriots,
okay,
but they both had losing records. It wasn't like what we saw the other night.
Yeah, that's how it used to be.
And it was the old Sullivan Stadium. It was dingy, it was gray, it was raining, it was cold.
It was aluminum.
And I remember it was the 2001 season. I believe it was the 2001 season. And me, Matt Millen, and Howard David were doing the broadcast. And meanwhile, a Patriot fan looks a lot like you, oddly enough. And if you put your hood up from your hoodie, I was blowing ganj back into the radio booth. Like he was smoking and blowing it in there. So I had never been high before until that night.
Oh,
and,
God.
Me and Matt Millen had the munchies like by the middle of the first quarter.
Was that? No, that was that. That was probably after Matt Millen punched Pat Sullivan's son.
It might have been. It might have been. So
because he ran on the field after we beat them. That was 85 before we got massacred by the Bears. We played the Dolphins next, but I remember he, like an idiot, got into an Oakland Raiders face, LA Raider at that time, and Matt Millen just had his helmet and just jabbed him right in his head, caused him to bleed and everything. And that's back in the day where you didn't really get sued for doing that. The other guy would be like, I kind of deserved that.
Right, exactly.
I'm wearing a suit and loafers. This guy just put his life on the line out there, and I got in his face like I actually play the game at this level, so... yeah, I have a lot of good memories of that old stadium, man. I mean, it was definitely
not a lot of good football teams, though.
Yeah,
not like you have now. Oh my God, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, could you believe what you watched the other night? Did you enjoy it?
I don't like just no defense. Like last year's Super Bowl, you know what I mean? Not taking anything away from the Eagles, but there was basically one defensive play made that sealed the game, and it was just I miss like the doomsday, the steel curtain. All those great, the sack exchange in New York, that was fun for a year. Like, I don't know. It's like if you wanted to watch baseball and all you wanted to do was see home runs and you couldn't appreciate a great pitcher. So, like, you know, it's weird. They say defense wins championships. You know, they always say that. But, like, I don't know. The direction the NFL's going in, that literally looked like you were watching somebody playing, like, Madden football with real people. I think that's a game that's a great game for a casual fan. Like, you know, most people hate soccer in this country, but if there's a game that's like 8-7, most Americans would be like, oh, it was a great game.
But the amazing thing is, though, Bill, as we talked to Bill Burr here, is that the ratings are up, man. The ratings are higher than they've ever been. That was the highest rated Sunday night football broadcast. Last year's Super Bowl was off the charts between those two teams. You know, people want to see offense. They want to see
people who don't enjoy sports want to see it. Because it's exciting, because they think it's like somebody watches like MMA and they don't know anything about it. They're just laying on the ground. And they want to see him like throwing haymakers. And it's like, yeah. So, I mean, if you're a true sports fan, I mean, like that game was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Yeah. And I don't think, and everybody's all excited, like, oh, the Patriots beat the Chiefs. It's like, we let up 40 points.
They should have scored 60 points.
Exactly. And it's like, you're not gonna win anything. Giving up 40 points, 43 points.
You're a Boston guy. You got to be like a Brady sycophant, aren't you?
No, I mean, obviously, yeah, I love
yeah,
the guy.
Yeah, you have to I think you guys
who aren't Patriots fans are way more obsessed with them than actual Patriots fans are, because that, like, the guy just keeps winning. He has the most rings individually as any
first quarterback ever to win 200 games.
Yeah, so I think you guys, he's just like your boyfriend. He just like people just come at you. It's like, no, it's like awesome. I'm just trying to enjoy it. I mean, the guy's over 40. Belichick is pushing 70. I know this is going to end at some point.
When?
When is this ever going to end? Oh, my God. I was in this sports bar.
Yeah.
And this Chiefs fan, like, had, a meltdown. I can't say, because he was saying, like, F-bombs. And he, like, was literally, like, when the Patriots came out and they were up, like, 24-6 or something like that, he was just, oh, these refs are all in the Patriots' pocket. Then he's screaming all this stuff. And then when the Chiefs started coming back, he was like, that's right. That's right. This is how it is now. This is over. This is over. Like, talking, I was just like, wow, man. Have we been? It reminded me as a Patriots fan, it was like the Dolphins, when the Dolphins went from Bob Greasy, and even when they had Don Strock and David Woodley, they still went to a Super Bowl, and then they had Dan Marino. And by 84, when he had that, like, I think the greatest offensive numbers ever. I don't care about today. Marino would throw for over 6,000 yards today, you know? But and by 84, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be another 15 years of this. Like, I'm going to be 30. I've been watching us get our butts kicked by the Dolphins since I've been, like, 6. And this is going to last, you know. If I live to 100, a third of my life is going to be the Dolphins beating us twice a year. So I kind of understood it. But this guy, by the end, he wasn't even yelling about the plays. He was just yelling. And they escorted him out. He wasn't violent or anything. It was like watching a manager – like, have a meltdown and, like, you know, throw the dirt over the plate. He just got escorted out right into a cab.
But aren't like, pro football fans, like, tribal? Don't you feel that way? I'm like, more so than any other sport. I just feel like they just protect their team. They protect their players. I mean, you saw what's gone on with Deflategate and Spygate and everything else, and how the reaction has been, you know, it's just basically overwhelmed all of New England. To the point where you have the Red Sox.
Well, because Deflategate was such a kangaroo court BS.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Stupid.
Yeah.
You know why I didn't make it to the NFL? Because I was throwing regulation weighted balls. If I just took, like, a little air out of it, it would have just magically dropped it. They lost by 35. The Colts also had underinflated balls. ESPN, my favorite thing was ESPN did a study that showed it was actually a disadvantage because the ball actually got there a split second later, which obviously helps the defense. Then they just took that down.
Right.
Because that killed the story.
Maybe that was like giving a golfer an extra stroke or something. Tom was deflating the ball so he could help the other team.
I just feel that that's just like, you know, like if you play drums. Where do you want your hi-hat?
But why do you think they went after Tom Brady? What was the reason behind it?
I don't know. Because we used to be really good friends, like it seemed. Like we were palling around with Goodell.
Yeah.
And something happened. Who knows? And God knows when something happens, usually it's not football related. It's usually something else. Gambling, women, or something like that. Something went down. I don't know what happened. But I don't know. Like, yeah. To this day, what it kills me is people think that he got suspended for that charge. They brought that into court, and the judge got mad, like, for wasting his time. There was so little evidence. And then the NFL changed their argument. And yeah, they said, we're a corporation. He's an employee. Does a corporation have the right to suspend an employee? They said yes. And they said, okay, Tom Brady's our employee. He's suspended. So he didn't get suspended for the, you know.
Well, in open court he didn't, but the NFL.
Oh, in court we have to actually prove something.
Well,
yes.
Well, the NFL has a CBA between the players and the owners. And the CBA says that the commissioner has the final say. That's what went before the court.
Because it's we can't be saying that a player's suspended and then he can go around us. This is going to open the floodgates. So they had to make sure he went down. That's basically what it was.
All right, we're talking to Bill Burr on Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. You said something recently that I thought was perfect, where you said you had to come to terms with your jokes not being yours any longer. That once it leaves your mouth and goes into someone's head, then it's theirs because how sensitive people are. And I'll give you an example. So we were talking about Kyrie Irving joining the Knicks, and I said by the time he gets to the Knicks, he'll have a dead guy's ligament in his knee. So someone calls up. We laugh about this. Someone calls up. You called that guy a dead guy. That person's a hero because he's an organ donor. All right? That dead guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what are you supposed
to do?
No, because
what it is everybody is making everything about themselves. This is the most self-obsessed. This is a performer who's got to stand on stage in front of people. I'm actually looking like regular people, their egos are surpassing celebrity.
Yeah.
Like they're everything is about them. Like when that whole Kavanaugh thing was going down, I saw somebody had this tweet. It said, I lost male friends this week. And then this person's getting consoled like something happened to them. It's like this trial isn't this is about this woman. This is her story. This isn't your story. And people just, they hijack jokes. They hijack stuff that you say on here. And they're going to spin it. And they manipulate it. And they outright lie sometimes. So people say, they go, is this a, you know, with the current climate is the big thing that they always say. Current climate in comedy, is it harder? It's one of the easiest times ever to do stand-up because you just, all you do is you just steer into it. You drive the bus right through it. And because most people, I really think that they're totally not reading the tea leaves correctly, where they're acting like that anybody who doesn't agree with this extreme progressive left view is a Trump supporter. And the reality is like, it's like there's also a lot of just rational people going like, dude, that's kind of crazy to kind of do that to somebody's life with really no chance for that person to defend themselves. You know, we really taking burden of proof and just flushing that down the toilet, you know? Like, but everybody's so afraid to say anything. And it's fascinating to me, someone who is on the left, to watch people on the left become bullies and try to silence people and try to destroy people for people who haven't done anything. They just have a difference of opinion. They're trying to like destroy them. And I think they've completely lost their way. And people don't like having somebody's hand on the back of their neck, rubbing their nose in it. They'll only tolerate that for so long. So everybody's like, this is how it's going to be now. And it isn't. It isn't. It's the way it is right now. And then, you know, it's almost like the Red Scare meets like MySpace.
Yeah. Now, here's another thing that you mentioned that I'm totally on board with. When a comedian has to apologize is one of the saddest things of all time. When somebody mentions a joke, whatever it is, and it goes out there and you, next thing you know, there's a tweet where a comedian's apologizing for that joke. That to me is ruining the business. It's ruining a comic. It's ruining entertainment because it's like how sensitive are, like, it's like, where is the separation between someone performing on a stage and entertaining people as opposed to, you know, someone doing it to be mean? Right?
I think it's just because there's so many channels. There's so much stuff to watch, video games. There's just so much to watch. The only way to get people to stop is to have people yelling at each other. That's why everything's just so many sports shows, you know, are just people just yelling at people. And I just think that's all it is. So now, you know, if 1,500 people go to a comedy show, $14.99, enjoy it, right? Where if that was your approval rating as a president, you'd be the most popular president of all time. One person doesn't like it, that becomes the story. And I'm seeing that, you know, it's not just like with comedy or whatever. So, look, there's times in life where, you know, you do make mistakes and you should apologize. And then there's other times where people are just sort of using you as a way to prop up whatever agenda that they have, which is really another bizarre thing. These people who allegedly care about victims, and then they'll take a subset of that to then shine a light on or whatever the hell that they're into. Yeah, it's a really, it's a weird time, but it's a tremendously fun time to be a comedian. And, you know, I've been having a lot of fun talking about all that stuff.
You know, speaking about sports shows that tend to yell at each other all the time, I was just wondering what you think about Manny Machado. No, I'm just kidding. Don't worry about that.
I don't even know that show.
What the hell we're talking about. Well,
I just realized this is televised and I look like a homeless person.
No, you actually look great. You look fantastic. You fit right in. But don't worry about it. He's wearing a wrinkled shirt today.
It doesn't matter. Right.
I told him, I said, you know, you're on high definition television. Yeah. The least you could do is wear an iron shirt or something.
I was wondering why I couldn't see your pores, man. They really got you made up over there, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, I look good, man. Don't worry about it. You're still good. Now you're trying to get me back for, you know, me hugging you or tackling you on Inside the NFL or something, you said.
Oh, yeah.
What was that all about? You just couldn't handle it?
No, wasn't that. Because you're a gorilla, and you don't realize it. Because all your career, you were getting sacked and everything. So I think in your head, you feel like you're a little guy. So I'm doing Inside the NFL for people at home listening, right? And there was some sort of play last year. Was it Aaron Rodgers?
Where he got picked up and slammed
on the ground. So we were talking about it.
That's against your team, the Minnesota Vikings.
That's right. That's
Anthony
when he got hurt.
Yeah. So we were talking about, you know, our quarterback's too well protected. So it was me. Ray Lewis was there.
Right.
I forget who else was there, but nobody's siding with the quarterback.
Well, Phil Simms was there, but nobody tends to remember him anyway. So don't worry about it.
So anyways, after the segment, he starts telling me about that play. He goes, would you see what happened to Aaron Rodgers? This guy came in and this giant guy comes into me. And I'm thinking, I want to say, Boomer, I saw the play. So he goes to pick me up, and rather than like grabbing me from like behind and pulling me towards him very romantically, instead he just squeezed in from the side. I just heard like my whole side of a rib cage just goes like that, and I knew you did something. And then I tried to be nice. He goes, you all right? I go, I think that was my back. He goes, no, dude, I think that was your ribs. And the muscles.
So now you have a better understanding of what it's like, though.
Of what?
Of the quarterback getting hit. And not doing what
I don't. I'll tell you why, because I wasn't getting paid millions and millions of dollars to have you do that. And I didn't have any pads on. I know what you mean.
He broke our boss's ribs twice just for fun.
Yeah, but if you see our boss, you'd understand why.
If you're going to pick somebody up, you need to learn how to do it.
You could break his ribs too, believe me. I mean, I played molecules with Al in the elevator because Al wanted to get in there. And I don't know if you've ever done this with anybody.
How tall are you? Like 6'5"?
Yes.
To what?
50.
So that's in middle age. That's like what? 270, 280?
Yeah, right. 250
pounds. 250. All right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I'm 5'9 and three quarters.
That's not my fault.
I'm a buck 70. That's my fault. You got small parents. This is the kind of person I miss.
Right.
Yeah, unapologetic.
Right.
Walking around hurting people.
You know, just doing it the way it's supposed to be done.
That's right. Toughen up.
Just hurting people.
Yeah, but it's got to be great for you, though. I mean, it's got to be like, as you just said, for a comedian right now.
It would have been better if Joe Montana did it to me.
Really? Yeah. He wouldn't have done it to you, I can tell you, because you're all more right. His size. He's not as big as I am. So, plus, he's a nicer guy than I am.
He is.
That's why he's not doing this.
Do you know I saw him in a restaurant? And I was in San Francisco, and one of my relatives was living out there, and I was out to dinner. And I was like, I looked over, I was like, oh my God, there's Joe Montana. And he was on like a double date, you know, he's with his wife and somebody else. And I got up to leave. And, you know, when people go to walk out of a restaurant, you know, if you're sitting down, you just look up at him. Dude, he looked up at me. I swear to God, like my heart went down into my stomach. He just has like this. I can't even do the look. The way he just glanced up, I was like, oh my God, there it is. That's why he would win in the final 2 minutes.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I just realized who was in the room. Yeah, right. Sorry about that.
Just now you realized.
How frustrating is that for you as a quarterback where you did what you had to do? Because that's what I was thinking with Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Like I was joking with him I was joking about him. Like his pillow talk with Giselle has to be like, dude, how many times do I have to win a game with this defense? Yeah, right. How many Super Bowls do I have to win? And then some guy catches it between his helmet and his toe. What do I got to do? And then it all comes down on me. I did my job.
Are you living out in L.A. now?
I saw that.
Yeah, right. He is doing his job. Yes.
I mean, were you pacing? I know it's a team effort. Everybody, the strongest, weakest link in the chain.
I was on the sideline. I thought I was going to Disney World. You know, I was practicing my lines. I'm going to Disney World.
Oh, my God.
And after Joe Montana hits John Taylor for the game-winning touchdown, before I could get the words out of my mouth, I guess I'm not going to Disney World. The people that were surrounding me to shoot that commercial were running across the field looking for Joe Montana. That was adding insult to injury. That is show business. That was the reality of it.
I remember, you know? I had an acting gig on a TV show, and how I learned it got canceled. I was down at the Improv, and we were on we were on Wednesday on ABC, and I was just sitting there at the bar, and the TV comes on. And all of a sudden, this jingle comes on. And it goes, Wednesdays are a change in on ABC. And they showed this new show that was in the time slot that we were on. I was like, all right, I guess we're off the air.
Nobody told you.
Yeah.
Joe Montana, you and the San Francisco 49ers just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next?
We're going to Disneyland!
See, have you been able to go to Disneyland since that loss?
These are purple, the people that I work with. They just torment me for the last 10 years. This is what they do, and they get great joy out of it. You see what I'm dealing with?
Have you ever tried to pick one of them up?
Yes.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why. You're probably right.
Got to fight back somehow, right?
I mean,
Have you ever gone to Disneyland since
Disney World?
Disney World.
I wouldn't go to Disneyland. I'm more of a Disney World guy.
You're more Epcot guy. You're worldly.
Yeah. East Coast.
Yes. I go to Norwegian land. Yes. But I have worked with NARPs my entire life here. Mm-hmm. And these guys, basically, it's an all out attack every single day, and I got to fight them off.
That's the way it should be.
Yeah. You think so?
You'd think every once in a while they give you, maybe they could play.
I don't know what it is about you.
Why?
I feel like you bring out the worst in me. I don't know what it is.
I think you're, whatever is going on in your world,
you see me
as like, there's a guy I can take it out on. You know what they should do every once in a while? Why don't they play your interview after the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Well. Because everybody remembers that, right?
Yeah. He likes to play. A play in which I got knocked out by Bruce Smith.
Yeah,
he likes to play the radio call of that plenty of times. That's like one of his favorite calls of all time.
Well, that's probably worse than the Super Bowl one.
I don't remember that one. Could you play that for me? I don't remember that one.
Oh, sure, we can find that.
That would be great. Were you mic'd up for NFL Films on that one? That would be great.
Boomer's not moving. I don't know if he has been knocked unconscious. But he is not moving at all.
Was it like AstroTurf? You guys played in a brutal era.
Yeah, it was up there. Oh, man, we played in terrible stadiums, man. And that was up at, where the Bills still play. But, it was just an awful, cold, freezing day. I don't remember the play, actually.
Did you ever play in the Vet?
Oh, yeah.
I always heard that one. Yeah, it was us.
The Astrodome was the worst. Because it was carpet that was on cement. And if they didn't... put it down with Velcro or whatever they kept it down with, you could be running and it would slide out from underneath you. Could you imagine Earl Campbell playing on that field?
No, man.
I mean, that's the kind of crap that those players, and a player like of that magnitude, if he played like in today's world, what he would be like.
See, I feel like Bill would love that stuff. You'd love the old turf and the just divots and concrete. I mean, they always talk about the old school stuff.
I thought it looked cool when it first came out. Yeah. I thought AstroTurf looked cool. But once I heard players starting to talk about it, I was like, oh, that's terrible. And like, you don't want to see, the best player on your team get knocked out. And I also, I'm one of those people, I don't root for injury, even on teams that I hate. It's like, if my team's going to beat you, I want your best players to be in there. I don't wish any ill will on anybody. And just watching, Earl Campbell getting run into the ground and all of that stuff. It's just like, yeah, those things are not, yeah.
Not
it, it looked like it was a cool idea. It was all money-based, right? Then
sure
we don't have to cut the grass and all that. To hell with these guys. Let them play in a parking lot.
Yeah. But if you remember, a couple of years ago, they had the game at the Hall of Fame game up there in Canton, and the players wouldn't play on the field. This was like 2 years ago. It was a preseason game.
Right.
And the players said, we're not playing. We're just not going to play in the field. The field is not up to professional standards. If those players could have seen some of the fields that we played on, including the Vet, including Sullivan Stadium.
Oh, yeah. So many of them like multi-purpose. You're like standing on a pitcher's mound calling out the signals.
Riverfront in Cincinnati. It was the worst. It actually was dipped. So there was almost like a 45-degree angle going downhill into one area from the 10-yard line to the goal line. And there was home plate was there. And the way that they would cover up home plate was with big boards that were covered with the AstroTurf and then like a piece of the AstroTurf over the dirt area. So you'd actually be running over boards and seams and everything else right in the middle of the field. There's no way that that would ever happen today. I mean, especially with the
athletes. They couldn't even just like put a board and then some dirt and then the AstroTurf.
No, it was brutal. It was brutal. And all those multi-purple stadiums, Three Rivers was that, right? All those. Yeah, every single one of them. Terrible.
So you played the Garden before, right? Or no?
Yeah, 2015 I played.
2015?
Yep.
Yeah, so that's got to be, even though you're a Boston guy, it's still a cool venue to be at,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, to me, that's like a music venue.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's,
But it still doesn't, it's got to mean something. I mean,
that's a music venue.
Yeah, all right.
That's Billy Joel's house.
Right, right, right.
But and Mark Messier. But, I mean, the Knicks haven't won it since 73.
Oh, God.
I'm not trying to get involved in this.
No, don't.
But, like, so, like, I think of you know, Muhammad Ali, Joe Frazier, Frank Sinatra's comeback, Led Zeppelin's song remains the same. That's what I think. And Messier, you know, holding up the cup.
Billy Joel.
Mike Milbury. Going into the stands, pulling that guy's loafer off.
What's the comedy venue equivalent of that then? Like, what would be the place where it'd be like the mecca of comedy?
As far as comedy clubs, that's a good question. The one for me was probably the Punchline in San Francisco, because it just seemed like all of these guys that I love came out of there, like Dana Carvey, Dana Gould, Robin Williams. It was just these, and then there was the subset of those guys, and they were just so good. It was a great scene. Houston had a great scene with Kinison and Hicks. Boston, where I came from, Nick's Comedy Stop. Yeah, and I guess, let me see. I guess maybe the old Improv in New York, which I never got to go to. Because by the time I got down here, a lot of those original places, like Catch a Rising Star was gone, the original Improv was gone. Caroline's, the original one of that, had moved. But as far as like the mecca down here, as far as if you were going to be funny, I would say the Boston Comedy Club, and specifically the Sunday night, the Uptown Show, which was the non-white guy show. If you had the nerve to go up on that, if you could kill on that, those are some of the best and worst sets I ever had in my career. And it was one of those shows where if you did it, you walked out of there being like, why don't I have my own movie career yet? Or you would be thinking, why the hell did I ever get into this business? I should go open a hardware store.
Bill Burr at the Garden, Wednesday, November 7th at 8 o'clock. Tickets, nycomedyfestival.com or ticketmaster.com. nycomedyfestival.com or ticketmaster.com.
Great to see you, man.
Yeah, great to see you, too.
Hugs no hugging.
No, we'll do fist bump. Fist bump,
just
we're good.
A fist bump, you'll be fine.
That's Bill Burr.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.